Please turn with me this morning, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm 31, I'm sorry. I will be going to 103 probably, but Psalm 31, and beginning at verse 5. It's 31. If the bulletin says 51, it's 31. Verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. I want to talk to you this morning about the hand of God. I wish to embrace a series of messages kind of pertaining to the metaphors that the Bible gives us of God. Now, we all know that God doesn't have a physical hand. Neither can we see God physically, but we can see God by faith. We can see His hand in our lives, or we ought to be able to. I believe that's the one greatest need that we as believers need to see, that God is involved in our lives every day. Now, when I talk about the hand of God, as we see mentioned here, it's not hard to determine that David's in a destitute case. This is not a most comforting part of Scripture to read as far as the experiences David incurred. But you see, don't you see, that he is embracing that God, in spite of it all, I know that you're with me. I know, God, that your hand is there. And I know, God, that you'll be all I need. And that's what we have to get to. And what God does in our life, I'm convinced that He will allow us or even send to us a crisis in our life. And when that crisis comes, you then have to decide what you believe about God. That happened to Abraham. That happened to Naomi and Ruth. That happened to David, the Apostle Paul. And I believe it's happening to you, or will happen, and to me. But when that does, what a joy to understand that God is involved in it all. So I want to talk about the hand of God. Now, what that means is, I understand the hand of God, you're talking about power. That's what God's hand is. It's His power. I drank my glass, Paul. Todd used this illustration. I took it in my hand. I probably could have got my mouth over it some other way and slurped it. I don't know, but it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have been good. God's hand is His power that He uses to guide us, to protect us. God saves us, but then He keeps us saved. And so we look at God's hand, and we look at God's hand in His providence of our life. That's how I want us to see it. And really, there's three kingdoms of God in this life, in this kingdom age, of kingdom on earth. One is God in creation. Now that's easy to see God. A person that tells me they don't believe in God and look at the trees or the birds or the sky, I don't know how you could miss God. I don't. And then there's the kingdom of His grace. Oh my goodness, how we know that God's grace, you know that His power He's given you has sustained you through the trials and your hurts and heartbreaks of life. But the kingdom of His providence, now that's a little harder to deal with. Now we heard Rosemary a while ago talk about God's providence, and what she's really talking about is God's hand, God's power in preserving a person in the Ukraine or whatever. And you could understand this. This would happen whether she said that or not, or whether the man noticed it was God. That doesn't stop it from happening. But when God reveals that to somebody, that it is God. I don't think I've talked to anybody in this room very long in my ministry here that you have not told me something that God has done for you. How He's delivered you. What He has done for you or other people. And so I've given, and you notice in your bulletin, you will have an opportunity in the next few weeks. If you want to share some great things God has done for you, you do it. You don't have to stand up here. You can write it down. But I think it's important that God's people share what God has done and they see the great things. Because Jesus said, a man wanted to follow Him. And that's what happens when God saves you. You want to go with Him. You want to follow Him. And the man says, I'll go with you, Lord, wherever you say. And Jesus told him, you go home. You go home to your family and to your church and you tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Now that's what Jesus said. Now, you don't have to do it, but you can. But I'm going to tell you this. The more blessings you got, you're going to have, you know how you enjoy more when you share them. What Rosemary G was doing was an overflow. It wasn't some way to say, well, I'm more spiritual than you or whatever, or some pious appertation. And what it was this is what God did. Great things. Our cup ought to be overflowing just to know that God is in charge of our lives. And that's what David is saying. If you look at that word hand and you substitute power there, I think we can do that. If you still have your Bibles open, it would be the same as saying in verse 5, into thy power I commit my spirit. Have you heard that before? That's what Jesus said on the cross just before He died for us. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What a comforting place for us to be. To submit to God, to yield to God in every part of our life. Notice in verse 8, and hast thou not shut up into the power of the enemy. There's enemies, there's problems that we face. Even the devil himself. But God is greater than that. David acknowledges that. And then in verse 15, which is a key verse, he says, my times are in thy power. That's what it means, hand. Now I want to say four quick things about this. I want to understand that, help you understand and help me understand better when we think about God's hand. First of all, it's hard to see God's hand in small things. But I want you to know with me, and I think you all do, there's no such a thing as chance with God. Jesus said this in Matthew 10. He says that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, I would say that's a big deal, but that's a small thing. But God knows everything. I want you to understand that God is in control, that this power, He's the one that gives power. There's nothing in His created world, not one atom, not one molecule, not anything that God doesn't have to give power before it is in being. Nothing. The very reason you're sitting here in these pews is because of the will of God that you're here and I'm here. It's God. It's His power. Every net that's on my porch, God knows them and God controls them. Every mosquito in the creek. I'm just saying now, if God is not in control of this, then He's not God. So you're going to understand that God is in control of this. You've got to understand who's in charge. What a comfort it is. David says, my times, Lord, my life, plural times are in your hands, every phase of it. I'll tell you what, that's what revival is about. You reflect on great things of God, how He's given you the things. You know what God has done? How He's done it? These small things are hard to see. You take, for example, Joseph in Egypt. You know the story. You know Joseph. What made his father decide to send him to the fields to bring his brother some food? When he was the son he really loved the most, seems like, Joseph. But something prompted him. God did that. And then just why is it? Is it just happenchance that the Ishmaelites come along about the time that he's in the pit? When they don't normally go that way? That's God. See, that's God's unseen hand. Now there's some big things. You know, we got to understand that God is the God of the mount, but He's also the God of the valley. That flat tire, that delay at the post office. I mean, that's not just happenstance. What I'm trying to say to us this morning is understanding that God is powerful, that His controlling power that is all under God makes life a sheer adventure. I do not know how a person could be bored or think life is mundane. Sure, you're going to have problems. Thank God that you got them. The worst problem a person can have is have no problems at all. The best thing to do is thank God this is from you. Give me power, your power, God, to deal with it. See, what Rosemary was saying and what I've invited us to say is that's what brings God glory. Didn't change anything about what happens. There's a lot of people who don't know what they don't know. See, we won't be in this life long. There's no use in wasting God's grace any longer. We need to decide right now today what we believe about God. Now, is He controlling our lives? Is He over all? Or just some of the things? Number two is, I want you to understand this. When you think about God's hand, seeing God's hand, you understand it includes your hurts. Not only is it hard to see because of the smallest of things, but it's when you hurt. I stood over in the hospital the other day with Donna Faye and Deal and the family, and we were praying for Brother Dan, and he was having surgery, and I was getting ready to leave, and Donna said, it's in God's hands, isn't it? Yes, it is. What a comfort that is. What a blessing to know that it's in God's hands. Does that mean we don't hurt? I just refer you to the cross of Calvary and to Jesus' hands. They did have nail scars, you know. If you're trying to serve a Savior that doesn't have scars in His hands, you're serving an imposter. And if you're trying to get through life without dealing with hurts, then you've been schemed by the devil. What happens when we get to the point of life where we see that God's in all things, we can praise Him even for the hurt? Yesterday, Penny and I went by the Black Creek Church Cemetery. Some of our family's buried there. And I was thinking there, nobody's in these graves by accident. Nobody. It's all from God. And I have an infant son there, and a mom and a daddy and a sister. Penny has a mother and a father. And we'll be there one day. But I'm going to tell you, nobody gets to heaven early or late, because God's providence is also very punctual. You make plans for your life, and you plan to do something at 12 o'clock, but God plans it to be at 1. Guess what time it's going to happen? See, God is in control. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing. But even in our hurts, and that's probably where we need to see him the most, and realize that's in God's hands. I remember, I shared this years ago here, I know, but as a little boy, I remember one day on one of my grandmother's screen porch, she had a son. One of her sons was sickened to death. And I didn't know what in the world she was talking about, but I remember her talking to somebody that came over to visit, and she stands up and says to that person, "I saw the hand of God." She said, "I've been praying for Emory, and I saw the hand of God, and I know things are going to be all right." Now, I don't know what kind of vision God made I give her, but my point was, she come to embrace the fact that, you know, this was in God's power. And what a blessing that is, to see the hand of God even in our hurts. But also we need to see the hand of God in our hearts. You do know, according to Proverbs 21:1, that the king's heart is in the hand of God. You do know that you make plans, but God directs your steps. You do know that, don't you? You do know that God knows our thoughts. See, God is in charge of our hearts. I heard somebody, or read this. This was a famous theologian. He says, "Oh yeah, I know how it is for believers. They're all on a ship. And they're destined to go to heaven. But while they're on the ship, they can do kind of what they want to do." That's false. Because God has to direct not only the ship, but the people that are on the ship. You know why? Because when you talk about election and predestination, that is a destination. But not only as a believer predestined or destined to heaven and immortal glory, they're also predestined to holiness, according to Ephesians 1. Holiness means set apart. So while we're on the ship going to heaven, so to speak, life on earth, do you know what God has given your heart? He's digging in there right now. Some of you probably have been struggling some a bit with things you probably ought to do. Something that's bothering you. Or maybe some of you that are dealing with problems, understand that God has comforted your heart. Now that is God's hand. That's what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. God directs us in our hearts. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. For it's the Spirit of God that God does his work. See, God works through people. People like you and me. And when he does great things in your life, he intends for us to acknowledge that, because that's where we praise him. You talking about worship God? That worships God. That's what David's doing. My times are in thy hands. We ought to take that verse personally. I hope you do. It'll keep you from worrying so much, or it ought to. I want to say one last thing about God's hand and seeing it. Not only is it hard to see in the little things, but it's there. Every minute, every detail. Also in the hurts, things we don't understand. But when you see God's hand, you know what it does? We grieve, yes we do. But we grieve according to his glory because we understand that loved one that God took, they were God's anyway. We need to thank him that he let us have them as long as he did. It's all God's. And by the way, creation, I mentioned that a while ago. My goodness, the power of God's hand in creating. The Bible says he hung the stars with his fingers. Now you listen to me. If God created out of nothing, and he did, and God suspends the universe, I mean, everything is under God's control. The orbits. Do you not think he can control our problems? Do you think that God is going to, I mean, given who he is our life just going to just be just kind of a hear him, scare him? No, it all has a direct purpose. Our failures, our disappointments, or God's appointments. When God shuts down a mill, he opens up something else. He never closes a door that he doesn't open a window. You hear me? What David has said, I can trust a God like that, and we ought to be able to. I have told you before, and I believe in my little definition of faith, is trusting God with everything. Now, if God's not all-powerful, you can't trust with everything. If some things are just by chance, I believe this, that person you married or didn't marry, God directed that. Now, a lot of divorces happen because people marry the wrong person. They do. But I'm going to tell you, God is in those relationships. He directs them. So we see our hurts. We see God's hand in our hurts. And sometimes he even chastens us. Because he loves us. But God's in our hearts. You take somebody's hand, you take God's hand on your heart. You know, I drink water. If I go out to eat, I drink water, but I like lemon in it. It only came to me a few months ago. I was doing that all the time. They stick the lemon on top of the glass. It's just something to look at. What I found out is you got to squeeze it. You got to take that lemon and squeeze it in there. You know what God does to your heart? God sometimes sends problems, burdens. You know what he's doing? He's stretching your heart so you can hold more blessings. So you can get a better flavor out of his life that he's given you, which is his gift. You just understand that it's all from the hand of God. You drive around your farm today or your house where you work. You look at your children. You look at your table when you eat dinner in a few minutes and you say it's all from the hand of God. Now, if you can't say that, you haven't worshiped. We just have well not been here today. Well, it's from God's hand. And it should make us shake in our shoes. The reverence and awe we need to give him. And God forbid that we ever, ever complain about anything because it's all from God. And it's all for our good. And then lastly, I wanted to say this. Seeing God's hand is heeding his command. If you want to see God, you obey. I'll tell you just one example in the Bible, Abraham. You go to Genesis 22, we're going to have to turn there. Abraham was told by God, take your son Isaac, take him up the mountain Moriah and kill him, make him a sacrifice. Abraham did that. It didn't make a lot of sense. Most of the time, God doesn't make sense to us in our humanness. But God has called us to see. Listen to me now. God has called us to see what we can't see. to be what we can't be. And to be bound to be free. That's what God is. Is He that to you? Because God will cause us to do things and call us to do things that we simply cannot do. But He enables us to do it. And Abraham believed God. And God counted it for righteousness. And Abraham took his son. And he went and did what God said do. But when he got there, God provided. God met his need. And that's what God will do to you and me. You might be in a part of life, there's some things in your life you haven't been obeying God about. When you see God's hand, you understand Him to be Jehovah Jireh. But you'll only see that as you obey Him and trust Him. I tell you what, we better understand the merit of obeying God, given the powerful God that He is. If God is for us, who can be against us? But God has called us to obey. Now God's never gonna, He's not gonna call us to take our son or our daughters and make a sacrifice. But He may call you to be baptized in water. He may call you to forgive somebody. All these things are hard to do. He may call you to visit somebody that you don't feel like even being around. But what happens when we do that and it's prompt of God, what happens is we understand that God provides for us. We see His hand in it. And what a great blessing it is. And we praise Him for it. The hand of God. You can't get away from it. You can't. But oh, what comfort. How exciting life really is. Golly, I think about my life and situations I never would have thought of. I mean, things I would not even wrote about or wouldn't want to happen. God has used and brings such glory and grace. I just want to share that with everybody, and I don't have time. I'm going to guarantee you what. You start looking for the hand of God in your life, you won't have to look far. And if you don't see Him, you blind as a bat, that's all I got to see. Because God is in your life every day. And you can't even walk without holding His hand. You can't. But when you do, you can face tomorrow. Because I guarantee you, when you're in God's hands, you're in the safest, most secure place you can ever be. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for the joy of realizing Your great power. Lord, how unworthy sinners can be in Your hands. It's beyond me. But Lord, we're so desperately in need of them. Thank You, Lord, for being the potter, the hands that shape our lives. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a heart to love You. You have a hand in everything. Not only the food on our table, but the desires of our heart, the good works that You create us to do. They come from You, Lord. We ask You to bless us, make us more mindful. Make us bubble over with Your grace. Make our cup run over with Your goodness. Let's tell somebody today what great things You've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.